This is a fun topic. I love worship. I love praise. And I have to let you guys know this, and you do know this, but it is worship and praise is more than what's happening up here, right? The worship people that are up here lead us into a place of worship, but worship is a lifestyle. Worship is everything that we do when we're not in here, you know, to God. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at the difference between praise and worship, and we're going to look at some scripture. And again, the goal is for you to be armed up with the tool so that then Monday through Saturday, you can utilize those tools so that you can have a successful walk as a Christian. And even though you're going to go through hard times, you can know that Jesus is with you. And he's not only with you, but he's given you the power to be able to overcome. Amen? Because of him. Nothing because of us. So the first question is this, all right? What is worship? All right, so worship is our total life response to who God is. I love that. It's our total life response to who God is. His holiness, his greatness, his love, his mercy, and his power, right? It goes beyond words and music. It's about our reverence. It's about our surrender and our adoration. And so you notice in worship, it has nothing to do with us, right? It's reverence for him, surrender to him, adoration of him, all right? The first scripture we're going to look at, we're going to look at quite a few scriptures, so get out your device, get out your written Bible, however you do it is fine. Some of it will be on the screen, but we're going to look at a few scriptures today. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." The goal here is that we would be living sacrifices, that everywhere we go outside of the church, that our life and our love for Jesus would be a representation of his grace and his mercy and his love, that we would die to our own thoughts and our own preferences and our own opinions and the things we think we have figured out. We die to that, that we would literally put our lives on that altar of sacrifice and say, "Jesus, I am yours. Use my life." That's true worship when we can do that. We need his help for that, of course. You know, having worship be a lifestyle is not easy, right? Because we deal with traffic. We deal with, you know, if you're in a relationship with your husband or wife and things can be frustrating, you've got kids to manage or just coworkers that sometimes you just need a lot of prayer for, right? So sometimes it's difficult to live a life of worship because we have to deal with all those things that are around us. But that's where the part of surrender comes. That's where the part of dying to self comes in. Worship is acknowledging God as Lord of all, right? And offering him your heart, your mind, and your actions, right? There's a difference between Jesus being Savior, which that's a good thing. You want to ask Jesus into your heart for him to be your Lord and Savior. But that's awesome. But there's a difference then in the next steps in the process of having Jesus be your Lord, meaning you die, he's raised up in your life. Amen? And that's a process that we're all in. None of us have figured that out, right? Sanctification is that process of Jesus in our life and transforming us to be more like him. And guys, we need his help, right? None of us in here reflect Jesus 100%. That's just the way it is. But we're on the journey of it, right? And as a body of Christ, brothers and sisters, we encourage one another in that. Worship is intimate and relational. It focuses on who God is, not just what he does for us, all right? That's big. It requires spirit and truth. It's often expressed through sacrifice, prayer, stillness, and awe. Even today, I found myself overwhelmed in the presence of God at just how mighty he is and how small I am and how big he is. We prayed in pre-service prayer this morning, and I was asking people, what do you need God to do today? How do you need him to show up for you? And different people shared. And I was like, I just need to know he's got it. I need to be reminded that all the things which I know, right? We know things, but it's good to have those reminders. It's good. And so I'm so thankful for worship. I'm so thankful for praise, these opportunities that we get to gather together corporately and by ourselves. You know, you need to be worshiping in your car or at your house. Doesn't even have to always have music. Sometimes it's silence. Sometimes it's just scripture. Sometimes you're just listening as you're staring at the beautiful nature, right? But it's focusing on God, not on us. Stillness, submission, right? So that's what worship is, right? So, and they go hand in hand. So what is praise, right? Because we sometimes call it praise and worship, and people are like, okay, well, they're the same things. Well, they're similar, but they're different, all right? Praise is the joyful recounting of what God has done. It's vocal, it's visible, it's often musical, right? That's what we were doing, right? We were singing songs that remind us of who God is and what he's doing. Praise celebrates God's actions, his goodness, his faithfulness, and his power. Amen? Woo! Oh, I love that. Praise is that joyful recounting of what God has done. And then, you know why that's so helpful? Because that keeps us realigned to what's going on, right? It reminds us of who he is, that he's been faithful, he will be faithful, no matter what's going on. We need that as his children. We need those reminders. Psalms 156 says this, "Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord." Praise the Lord. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. That is our job, is to, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to worship, to praise him, to focus on him. Praise is an outward expression. We praise God with our lips. We praise God with our hands, with our instruments, and our actions. All right? And again, we don't do it to become a spectacle. We don't do it so that others are like, oh, wow, look at that person. They're so spiritual. No, praise is outward. And so we all are going to do that differently. Some of you in here are introverts. And you know what? For you, standing there and closing your eyes as you worship, that is praise and worship to the Lord. All right? And you need to know that's okay. Some of you that are extroverts, all right, myself and my other friend, where's she at in the back, right? Clap our hands, be in the front. Worshiping Jesus, right? That's okay. We all have different ways of expressing our love for Jesus. And when God has come into your life and changed things, guess what? You're all in. And you also realize how small you are and how much you need him. I'll tell you, in this season that we're in, we're excited about multiplication. We're excited about planting a church and walking alongside Pastors Jordan and Leah. That's amazing. But I'll tell you, it's a little scary. There's a lot going on, right? And so we need God. We need his presence. We need his power. We need his wisdom. We need his understanding. And I realize, as well as Pastor Jordan, like, it's not about us. It's about him, and it's about the kingdom. And we know this also in spiritual warfare, the enemy doesn't like any of that because he doesn't like any territory. He doesn't want a fresh expression of Jesus Christ in another city. He doesn't want that. At all, you know? And so that's why we have to be aware and get armed up and make sure we're using all the tools, because the enemy will come at you. He comes at your pastor. He comes at your leaders. He wants to take us out. He wants to bring division, doubt, discouragement. You can't do it. You're not good. He wants to bring it all. I would be lying to you if I have said, I would say I haven't had to deal with that in the last few months. I have, as your pastor, have had to fight to make sure I'm doing okay, right? As a leader, we got to be able to, like, Jesus, I need you. I need your grace. I need your wisdom. I can't do this. So surrender and submission, you better believe I've been on my face. You better believe I'm in desperation, because we need him. Yeah? And that's a good place to be. And you know what? Every time we draw near to him, you know it, right? What happens? He draws near to us. It's promise. So again, praise and worship gets us in that atmosphere, moves us into a place where we're, not that your problems don't matter, but it gets us off the focus of this, right? The things of this earth, and gets us focused on the mission and the kingdom of God and what our purpose is in all of it. Praise is rooted in gratitude and thanksgiving. Man, are you thankful for what God has done? If you are saved in here, if you know him as your Savior and Lord, that really is about all we should be grateful for. He's done a million other things, but that alone would be enough for us to be so grateful and so thankful, for us to be on our face all the time and say, God, we don't deserve your mercy and grace, but thank you, right? But beyond salvation, we have been given so much more. You guys have stories and testimonies, miracles, healings, provision. I mean, God has shown up for you in your individual lives. You could testify. We could spend hours up here testifying about it. Gratitude, thanksgiving, praise can lift the atmosphere and build faith. Isn't that beautiful? Psalms 100 verse 4 says this, and again, these are familiar passages. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his holy name. Now listen, gratitude and thankfulness is all throughout scripture. Gratitude, I do believe it's a superpower. Like, it's a supernatural thing that just unlocks so much. When we're his children and we come before him and we're like so grateful and thankful for all that he has done, I just believe that it opens his Father's heart more so than those that come, that don't come to him or do come and just complain all the time or have a bad attitude. He loves us still, right? I have children and it's a difference, right? If they come and they're more grateful versus, you know, negative or wah-wah, right? It's a difference. You still love them, but boy, when they're coming and so grateful, you know, they give you a really beautiful card and write some really amazing things about you as a parent. That just means so much, right? So imagine how God feels, right? When we come to him and we praise him and we're so grateful. He deserves our praise regardless of how we feel. He deserves our worship, our lifestyle of worship, regardless of how we feel, right? Because it's about him. It's not about us. Praise is about celebrating God's work. Worship is about surrendering to God, right? So there's a difference. Praise leads us into worship, and worship leads us into a deeper intimacy with God. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be in worship by myself or with others. So we're talking about warfare. We're talking about you and I, we live in a battlefield, spiritual one. You know, there's not tanks and soldiers right now, but you do see anxiety, you see depression, you see temptation, you see fear, division, hello, spiritual dryness, oppression, all right? So that's all very prevalent, right? You feel it at work, you see it in your family, you sense it in your mind, and you can feel it in your soul. But as believers, we're not unarmed. We're not just left to that. God has given us powerful tools, and one of those weapons is worship. Worship is a weapon. I want you to look at it that way. Praise and worship is a weapon, a shield, and a strategy for spiritual victory. We're going to look at some biblical principles on how worship functions in spiritual warfare and how we can apply them daily. All right, does that sound good? Now, some of these accounts in scripture, you're going to know them really well, so we're not going to dive into them totally. You can go back and read your word completely on them. But man, it's just powerful. All right, so turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is a beautiful story of King Jehoshaphat and what happens when he's surrounded by the armies that are coming after them. And instead of going to strategy or, hey, let's get out some more tanks and things like that, he leads in worship and prayer. All right, so let's look at specifically verses 21 through 22, all right? Let's see. All right, let's actually move. We're going to start in verse 13. It says, as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, I can't even say that, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid. So here they are in this situation, surrounded by multiple armies. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by the mighty army. For the battle is not yours. What's it say? But God's. All right? We can all find ourselves in this situation right now. You might feel surrounded by a lot going on. All right? Real different. I mean, they were in literal war and surrounded by multiple armies. Life and death was on the, you know, docket for them. So, and he's speaking to not be afraid because the battle is not theirs. I don't know about you, that would be, you know, when you're talking real life stuff, that's a little bit more challenging, right? Then we can read it and go, oh yeah, that's great. But no, they were literally in the middle of it. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens up the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Interesting, right? You will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He's with you. You will not even need to fight. We're talking, this is history, real account of war, armies surrounding, and they're going to take their position, but they're being directed to stand still. That's challenging, right? Because you're like, no, I'm going to fight. I'm going to, you know, take care of my stuff, right? No, they've been given instruction to stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. All right, verse 18. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. Okay, again, giving us some really good instruction what to do, right? When you're surrounded on all sides, face to the ground, right? Jesus, we need you, right? He bowed low, his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord, right? A place of worship, a place of submission, a place of surrender. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Verse 20 and 21, that's where we're going. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Worshippers, right? The singers went ahead, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Get a visual of that. As the army is moving out, the king puts in front of the army the worshipers, the singers. And all they're singing is, "Lord, we recognize you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You go before us." Amazing, amazing, amazing. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies, right? They're listed right there. They started fighting one another. They turned on each other. They didn't even end up having to do anything other than obey and follow and worship. Guys, that tells us what we need to do in our lives. It gives us exactly a map of how to walk it out, how worship can win the battle for us. So the point I want us to look at is we're going to look at a couple things. First thing is this: worship redirects our focus, right? It gets us off of here and us, and it gets us on the Lord and his plan and his purpose. King Jehoshaphat and Judah were surrounded, and their response is they didn't build more weapons. They didn't call in the allies. They sought the face of God through prayer and worship. And here's the key. And you know, we read it. He put the worshipers at the front of the battle. Worship is warfare. Worship breaks. Worship, the enemy cannot stand when God's people are praising and worshiping God alone, right? Because the enemy wants that. He wants that praise himself. In our lives, we face battles too, right? Financial pressure, health problems, family tension, inner turmoil. And we often try to fight by doing all the wrong things. We think they're the right things, but they're all the wrong things. worrying, overthinking, isolating, trying to fix it ourselves, right? None of that works. Worship flips the script. It shifts our eyes from the problem to the problem solver. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about you. That's so encouraging. So here's a real quick example. Let's just say you've recently lost your job, right? Bills are stacking up and panic is rising. So instead of spiraling, because that's an option, right, we can all have, you start then worship, adding worship into your life, putting on some music, right? Focusing on saying, God, you're my provider. You've never failed me. I trust you. It's those kinds of things that then shift the atmosphere, right? It invites God into the battle instead of us just trying to think we can do it all on our own. Here's a challenge for you guys, all right? Start every day this week. Just try it just for this week, all right? 10 minutes, that can be like 2 or 3 worship songs. Just in the morning. Maybe it's as you're driving to work. But start your day with some praise and worship, right? Even if life is chaotic, we can all have reasons for why we can't do it. But we can all find reasons for the things we want to find time for, right? So try this week. Try 10 minutes of worship in your mornings and just see what happens. See what adjusts in your own heart and in your own life. Because worship really is about also not only honoring Jesus, praising God, but it also changes us because his presence, when it interacts with us, like, we have a choice, obviously, to be changed or not be changed, right? But we want to be changed, and so his presence changes us. So number one, worship redirects our focus. Number two, worship invites God's presence and power. Turn over with me to Acts 16. And again, you know this passage with Paul and Silas. But again, just another powerful example of the power of worship. You guys doing all right? Okay, all right, just making sure. Acts 16. Beautiful. All right, Acts 16, verse 25 says, around midnight, Paul and Silas, now let me just say this, before this point, they had been doing a lot of amazing things, praying for people, lives were being changed, people were being cast, the demons were getting cast out, people were losing their ability to create wealth because of what was happening. So much was changing in the town and the city. It became a real ruckus. And so they were sought after because of the things that they were doing as a Christ follower. So verse 25 starts out, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. All right, so this is after they've already been put into jail, singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and all the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted out to him, "Wait, stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Recognizing that the power of God in their life was bigger, you know. Putting them in jail wasn't going to stop the cause of Christ, and this jailer realized that. And so he's saying to, "What can I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe," we've heard this today, "believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." Beautiful thing, too, is when we praise and worship and when we're in this place of other people's chains came off. It wasn't just Paul and Silas as they were praising and worshiping. So even then, it can affect other people as we pray, as we praise, as we declare who God is, chains off of other people can come off. Amen? I don't know about you, but I got some family and friends who need some chains coming off in their life, and I can pray and worship and just declare over their life and pray for them, and that can make a difference. My grandmother's prayers changed my life. All throughout my life, she would pray for me. And there are so many times I can testify when I was younger, I wanted to go a different route, and it was like something else was pulling me back. Those were prayers, prayers of a grandmother. So whatever that is for you, pray for your loved ones. If you've got people that are lost and they're prodigals, maybe they've known Jesus, keep praying, keep believing. Keep loving, because there's power in that. Things can break off of people when we stand in the gap for them and pray and worship. Paul and Silas were beaten. They were chained. They were thrown. Thrown in prison, right? Literal, not just literal prison. I don't know about you, but if you found yourself in that place, would your first thought be to worship the Lord? I might be a little frustrated first. Just being honest, I might be a little mad. I might be a little ticked off at the call of God on my life that got me there. Now, eventually, because I do love Jesus and I've watched this pattern of my life, I'd get it realigned and I'd have to ask the Lord to forgive me because I took me so long to get there, right? But they worshiped, right? The worship didn't change. It changed them and it changed their reality. The power of God came in response to their praise. Powerful. The chains didn't break, though, before they sang. Do you realize that? They broke because they sang, because they worshiped, because they praised. We often wait to feel good before we worship, and that's the part of it really is about surrender. It really isn't about how we feel. Part of the dynamic of the warfare of it is we do it because of Him, not because of us. You know, not because you feel like raising your hands one day, or you feel like closing your eyes, or you feel like singing a song or shouting to the Lord because He's good. We don't always feel like it, but we do it because He's worthy of it. We do it because He deserves it, right? Not because of us. And so again, there's a breakthrough that happens because our flesh then is dying in those moments. And the Spirit of God is coming alive in us. And hope is being restored. And that's beautiful. So I encourage you, don't wait just to feel good to worship. Worship God because He deserves it, right? Worship isn't just a response to victory, it's a road to victory. When you're in a spiritual funk, when you feel defeated, when you feel bound, don't wait for the breakthrough to worship. Worship to bring the breakthrough, all right? He wants every single one of you in here, no matter what you're going, He wants you to experience breakthrough. But oftentimes, we're just kind of sitting there and we're waiting for the magic wand. His presence is here. We have to receive. We have to reach out and receive from Him what He has for us. You know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's never going to force Himself on anybody. And so we got to be receptive to that. If you want breakthrough in your life, God will give it to you. Absolutely. If you seek His presence, if you die to yourself and you ask Him to heal, He will show up and He will do mighty things in your life. But you got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to lay it down. One last quick, and we're not going to be able to talk about it much, but you can read it in Joshua 6, the walls of Jericho, right? Obedience and worship brought down the walls of Jericho, all right? They were given specific guidelines on what to do, all right? That's a big deal. The scripture has given us specific ways to lead our lives. We are not to just go, well, no, I want to do it this way, Lord. No. He's given us specific ways to live it out. It's not our job just to go to try to fix it. And so even this, God gave the Israel specific ways of what to do, how many times to go around, when not to talk, when to shout. I mean, they were specific. If they would have diverted from any of it, it wouldn't have worked. Obedience was what He was looking for. End of the story, after 7 days of going around and around and around, and I'm sure they were probably made fun of a ton because the people inside were like, wow, look at them. They're just walking around the walls. That's not doing a lot. But God is a big God, and He knows what He's doing. And when He asks us to do things, we need to obey, regardless if we understand, right? Joshua 6:20 says, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could, all right? And then suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town, and they captured it. Right. Israel obeyed God's instructions, even when it didn't make sense. Their obedience and worship didn't look like power, but it carried God's power. When they raised their voice in unity, walls that stood for centuries collapsed in that moment. Ah, beautiful. Again, tools for us to be aware of, to learn, to watch. Obedience may look foolish, but paired with worship, it carries divine authority. You might be fighting depression. You might be just tired and worn out. You may not even feel God, right? That's okay. He's still there. He's still here, even if you don't feel him. The goal would be, instead of maybe turning to Prime Video or Netflix or just scrolling endlessly, the goal would be for you to find some place to lift your hands and begin to sing. Begin to sing a song. Even, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies, right? Just getting yourself out of the darkness and out of the yuck. Remove yourself from that and get yourself focused on God and who he is. That moment doesn't just comfort you, but it brings heaven's power. Next time you feel overwhelmed, don't ignore it. Worship through it. Worship through it. Guys, I will tell you, I have done this multiple times in my life, and I will tell you, at one of the hardest points, and we're going to close here shortly, I was in Rockford, Illinois, and there were some really hard things that had happened in our church. Not good things in leadership, and things that broke God's heart and broke my heart along with a lot of other people. And there was a season where I struggled connecting to God. I knew he was there, but I was real delusioned by leadership and by things that I was seeing. I even struggled to read the Bible because the Bible was reading me, and I was like, yikes. I was just really, really struggling. But the one thing I knew to do in that time was that I had to keep my heart okay. I had to keep my soul okay. And so even though I was discouraged and angry, confused and frustrated, mad at God, mad at the church, mad at leadership, I knew that if I less listened to worship music, that at least my spirit and my soul could be okay. And so it was weeks and weeks for that, because I felt so distant. And so I'm going to tell you, those things happen in our lives, but you have to still stay connected. And that was, for me, what kept me connected was keeping my heart and my soul in love with Jesus, in a place that even though I couldn't really talk to him because I was mad, he could at least minister to my soul, right? So it matters. The third thing I want us to look at is worship silences the enemy. Yes. I don't know about you, but I just get really tired of all he's doing. I get mad at the enemy, so that's a good thing, right? Because he is the reason. And so it's not flesh and blood, it's the enemy. So put that on him. Psalms 149, 6 through 9 says this: let the praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Let the praise of God be in their mouths, right? This psalm connects praise with spiritual warfare. Praise becomes a sword, right? A weapon of offense. It literally says it executes vengeance and brings judgment, right? Satan wants to steal your voice. You need to know that, right? He's going to work really hard at it. He knows that when you open your mouth in praise, you weaken his grip. I don't know about you, but I want to disarm the enemy from all the places in my life. And so through prayer, through worship, through conversation, through counseling, through coaching, whatever it needs, I'm trying to disarm him from all areas of my life, right? And that's a process, and I think we'll all be working on it until now, until heaven, all right? You're not helpless, though, all right? In spiritual attack, when confusion comes, lies come, fear, don't just hang out with it, right? Sing, declare, shout. Use the tools that God has given us, right? What does it matter if you're all armed up, but you're not doing anything with it? Ugh. No, we're in a spiritual battle. Utilize the weapons of your warfare. Amen? Instead of entertaining lies, say things like this: no weapon formed against me will prosper. Greater is he that is in me than in the world. I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus, right? Those are the things. You go to the truth of who God says that you are. When the lies come, you tell the enemy the truth, right? Who he is, and it's over for him, right? Who we are because of Christ, right? I would encourage you to make a battle playlist. Songs of spiritual truth and warfare. On my phone, I have songs for declaring truth. I have songs for baptism. I've got different playlists for different seasons. I had a friend who was going through cancer in the last couple of years and just really felt that I needed to make a playlist for that season of life. Put songs on there that were truth and healing and scripture. Matters. Praise and worship matters. All right? The last thing is this: worship builds unity and releases supernatural growth. Acts 2, 42 and 47. I promise I'm almost done. Just a few more things. You guys okay? All right. We're doing all right, but we're almost done. Worship went over a little bit, so give me just a few more minutes, all right? So Acts 2, 42 and 47, through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple. Hello, right? Worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. Amen? It builds unity. It releases spiritual growth. They worship together, and because of that, the Lord added to their number. Right? There's power in worship. There's power in praise. In the scripture, there were miracles. There was unity. There was growth. There was favor on their lives. It creates an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move corporately, right? We want to be in a place where the Holy Spirit's moving corporately when we gather. We want to be able to know that He is here, that His presence is here. Church isn't just about sermons. It's about corporate worship that invites God's glory and His presence, and then living that out during the week. Amen? There's power in that. Worship is your weapon, one of the many. It's not just something we do, but it's how we fight. We fight fear with focus. We fight bondage with praise that invites power. We fight the enemy with truth-filled songs. We fight isolation by worshiping together. Right? So let me remind you, you have the tools. Now use them. Now use them in your life. Use them in your family. Use them in your marriage. Use them at work. Use them. Your hand might not hold an actual sword, but they were made to lift and worship. Your voice was designed to declare victory, not defeat. Stop talking negative. Stop speaking negative over yourself and over your family. Stop it. The power of life and death is in our tongues. God doesn't get any glory when we say negative things. He just doesn't. Speak life over yourself, over your family, over your situations. I'm not saying to not focus that there are reality things. There are hard things we go through. I'm not saying overlook it. But sometimes we can get so negative, we can get so stuck in all of that. Again, we get our eyes off of the kingdom and the mission, right? A soldier once said this: in battle, I don't just fight with my weapon, I fight with my voice. I shout, I call for backup, I cry out. That's how I've survived. As believers, you guys, your praise is your shout, your cry, your call for heavenly backup. I don't know about you. That's how I feel a lot of times when I'm in praise and worship. I'm like, I'm calling for backup. Jesus, help. I need you. I can't do this, right? That place of surrender, that place of submission.